Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast. In the news, Paul Walker's daughter settles wrongful death suit against Porsche. Meta Walker, the daughter of the Fast and Furious franchise star Paul Walker, has settled the lawsuit against Porsche. And this is concerning her father's death. And this is a wrongful death claim. But what is wrongful death? Today, from the law firm of Panter, Panter and San Pedro, we have David San Pedro, who is a board-certified civil trial attorney, also board-certified civil trial advocate, and we'll explain the difference. And there is only a handful of these attorneys in Florida that have these certifications. Also, I want to point out that you're part of the Florida Super Lawyers on Super Lawyers magazine, a distinction that's only limited to 5% of attorneys here in the state of Florida. I'd like to first welcome our legal panel host, Michael Santucci. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Phil? Great to see you.
You're kind of flying alone. Gary Astro's waiting for a verdict in West Palm Beach, and Gary Singer, who doesn't get sick, got sick. He's been doing this now with us for over 3 years.
Superman had a day off.
Yeah. Yes. How did that happen?
I want to thank our Facebook, say hello to our Facebook Live friends out there today.
It's amazing. She just showed me how it's growing and how people are sharing. And when they share it, it gets even bigger as well. I think we'll make this as a staple as well. You know, it is a real tragedy that hit the Fast and Furious franchise when one of its stars, Paul Walker, died in an automobile accident. The interesting thing, the ironic thing to me, is that Fast and Furious franchise was about driving cars fast and reckless. How awful and ironic, that this that Paul Walker's life was taken in an automobile accident, Mike.
That sucks. That's a shame.
Yeah. And this was a decision that was just passed down. A settlement that just passed down. Today, from the law firm of Panter and Panter, is David San Pedro. I'm sorry, Panter, Panter, San Pedro.
Panter, Panter, San Pedro. That's correct.
That's right.
Thank you, Phil.
Got to get it right. And we're going to be talking about wrongful death, which is an issue. It's always in the news, just like the recent article I just was alluding to. First of all, welcome to Legal News and Review.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
David, first question I have for you, others are thinking this, I'm sure. What's the difference between a personal injury claim and a wrongful death claim? And also, what actually is wrongful death?
Well, very simply, a wrongful death claim is what you can consider a personal injury action that results in the death of a person. In other words, if there is wrongful conduct on behalf of either a person, a corporation, or entity, and that results in the death of an individual, that would be a wrongful death claim. And in essence, that's what you have. You have different types of wrongful death claims. They can be medical malpractice claims. It could be as a result of an automobile accident case, as you were alluding to earlier, a product liability case, which in the Paul Walker situation, it's somewhat of a hybrid. It was a car accident, and the lawsuit against Porsche had to do with the product liability claim. It could be nursing home neglect cases or nursing home cases, which has its own separate statute. And it's been in the news recently in Hollywood here following Hurricane Irma.
14 people.
Tragedy of 14 people, yes. Up to 14 now.
But you shared with me, because of the ages of these people, there may not be, a case that could be brought.
No, that
could be a criminal case, but not
certainly
not a civil.
There might be criminal components to that particular case that we were talking about,
right?
Where you're talking about intentional conduct, you're talking about malfeasance, and in a negligence case, you're really just talking about carelessness, and you certainly could have both.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the previous episode there was a comment of O.J. Simpson, and that's an example where somebody was accused of intentional conduct causing the wrongful death of another person. But in those particular nursing home cases, you would have a wrongful death claim. And what happens oftentimes is that you could have the difficulty of proving that the person died as a result of that wrongful conduct. And if you are legally unable to prove that, and you are legally unable to prove that the cause of the death was as a result of that particular conduct and the injuries that happened as a result of that conduct, you could plead in the alternative what's called a survival action. And there's, at least in Florida and most other states, have a similar statute that basically says that no personal injury action dies with the death of a person. So, for example, to make it very, very simple, let's say you were involved in a car accident and you were injured and you sustained personal injuries as a result of that car accident, but died as a result of some other unrelated act, whether it's a heart attack or you cancer or food poisoning or what have you, but it's certainly not related to the underlying action, the personal injury action would survive. And what I was commenting to you before is that what happens oftentimes in nursing home cases is that because the residents have so many comorbid factors, they have so many health issues that are going on, sometimes it's difficult to prove that the wrongful conduct resulted in their death. And, you know, in this particular case, the Hollywood case, we're talking about individuals who dehydrated. Just terrible, terrible what they went through in the days following Hurricane Irma and the heat, the lack of air conditioner, the lack of fluids, especially when they're right across the street from a hospital. But in other situations, for example, it's not uncommon, unfortunately, for nursing home residents to develop what's called decubitus ulcers or pressure sores.
Right.
And it could be that those residents pass away as a result of something else, as a result of maybe some other underlying disease and not necessarily as a result of the decubitus ulcers or the pressure sores. And those pressure sores and decubitus ulcers are incredibly painful. So what happens is that the survival statute ensures that if the person dies as a result of something else other than whatever the personal injury action was for, that the case does not die with them, that the case goes on.
So the heirs get the benefit of whatever settlement or verdict, you know.
Well, under if it were a survival statute, if it was a survival claim, it would be their estate would be able to have the claim, and then presumably you would have heirs, or however, if the person had a will, it would be determined, which is certainly different than a wrongful death claim, which has a separate statute that outlines who can actually qualifies as a survivor and can make a claim for the death of their loved one.
Who are, first of all, nice to meet you, David. Michael
nice to
Santucci.
Meet you, Michael.
Who are the plaintiffs in these actions? And are there usually more than one plaintiff?
Let's be clear about that. In a wrongful death case, there's really typically every state, and we can talk about Florida in particular, which is where I'm licensed, but just about every state has something similar. There is a statute in Florida, 768.20, that says the only individual who has the right to bring forward a claim for wrongful death is the personal representative of the estate. Mm-hmm. So really, there is one plaintiff.
Gotcha.
The plaintiff is the personal representative. And the reason for that is that typically in a wrongful death claim, there are two sets of two entities that have damages, let's say. The first is the estate. The estate would have mostly what we call economic claims that would encompass things such as funeral expenses, medical bills that may have resulted from the wrongful conduct prior to the person passing away, something called net accumulations, which in essence is not necessarily loss of income, but it's basically the money that you would have expected the decedent, the person who passed away,
to have had
remaining with them. So it's a little bit more complicated than this, but it's basically what their income was minus the monies that they would use. Mm-hmm. In addition to the estate having a claim, the survivors have a right to make a claim for the loss of companionship and support and the love and their mental anguish for the loss of their loved ones. And those survivors are outlined by statute as well. Survivors are typically spouses, so you have to be legally married. And I do get calls from time to time from clients who have been with their a significant other for years, for, you know, 20 years, but they never formally were married. Unfortunately, that spouse would not be recognized. Florida and a lot of other states don't recognize common law
but
spouses.
These claims will be brought in the same lawsuit usually.
Absolutely.
Where the estate will be one plaintiff and, someone like suing for loss of companionship, they would be co-plaintiffs kind of going through the same trial?
Not necessarily co-plaintiffs, but they would be the survivors, and that's why you have a personal representative who has what they call a fiduciary duty or a legal obligation to all the individuals to treat them fairly, equitably, and appropriately, and they have the responsibility to bring forward the claim on behalf of each of the survivors. And there can be instances where, you know, you might have survivors that have don't have the same interest, but maybe they have children from different marriages, and it's not an ideal situation, but it happens. And in those situations, the survivors do have the right to hire their own individual attorney. But at the end of the day, there is one plaintiff who's driving the case, and that one is the personal representative, or the PR, as you alluded to. Yes.
And wrongful death is limited, as you pointed out, to those who can file. If I have a son who's maybe 30, 35, do I qualify if he was killed in an accident, that was purely negligible?
Yeah, well, the answer to that question is it depends. I alluded to who qualifies as a survivor to make a claim for pain and suffering. The only individuals who qualify, in essence, in this order, would be a spouse and minor children. Minor children are actually defined by statute as children under the age of 25, not 18.
Right.
So it's a little bit different. In the event that the person does not have a spouse, then all children, whether they're under the age of 25 or over the age of 25, have a right to make a claim. And if there are no spouses or children, then the parents of the decedent have the right to make a claim. Now, there is one exception to that, and it's a big exception, and that's in medical malpractice cases. And in medical malpractice cases, the only individuals who have a right to make a claim are spouses and minor children. So when you say, and you give an example, that if you have a child who's 30 years of age, he's an adult, he's not a minor, and he passes away as a result of somebody else's negligence, I guess the first question would be, were they married?
Mm-hmm.
You as their parent would only have the right to make a claim if it was not as a result of medical malpractice. So if it's a car accident, you would have the right to make a claim. But if it was as a result of medical negligence, believe it or not, you wouldn't. And the law, unfortunately, makes a distinction between those two categories and those two type of claims.
The worst thing I want to do if I had a loved one that died, it would be to consider filing any type of lawsuit. That would be the furthest thing in my mind. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even want to look at it, or think about that. But there is a statute of limitations. And what is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. This is not something that anybody wants to do, whether it's a survivor or even attorneys. I think the good attorneys that are out there, this is not what they're looking for, but what they're looking to do is to try to prevent that wrongful conduct from happening again. I told you once before, we don't have a perfect system, but I think it's the best system in the world, our legal system. And it provides for you to right some wrongs and hold people accountable. And there is a time constraint with that. And that time constraint in wrongful death claims are 2 years. So in other words, you do have 2 years from the date that somebody dies to make a claim and file a claim for wrongful death. And there does come a period where after 2 years, you're barred. You're no longer allowed to make a claim as a result of the wrongful death of your loved one.
You raised the issue of the OJ trial. And it's common that there'll be a murder case involved in the situation and a possible wrongful death claim. Can you talk about kind of how they interplay? Like the result, the murder case will usually be resolved quicker, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah, there's issues of speedy trial and due process in criminal cases
that we don't have
in civil cases, exactly. And it's incredible. I don't know how long it's been that we're still talking about that. I know the anniversary of the criminal case was recently. I think it's on 25 years, but we're still talking about that. And I still bring it up to my clients for a lot of different reasons.
That
but
trial introduced so many lay people to law and interested people in law. It launched the careers of some media people. It caused news networks to go in a certain direction toward ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a bombshell in our culture.
Incredible, incredible what it did.
Racial issues,
on so many levels. I guess what was different about the OJ case, and there's a couple of truisms here that I'll talk about, and maybe some myths that I'll dispel. But some people will ask, how did you get a not guilty verdict in the criminal component of the case, and then there's a civil case? Well, let's start off with the fact that every criminal murder case, in theory, would have a wrongful death component. Because if you intentionally tried to kill somebody, you obviously were responsible for their death. And it's not just negligence actions. Practically speaking, as I'll explain, that's what you end up dealing with. But anybody who commits a crime and murders somebody is obviously also civilly responsible for the damages that they cause. Now, in the O.J. Simpson case, the criminal trial was handled first, and obviously there was a not guilty verdict. And then the family of Ron Goldman filed a civil lawsuit as a result of the same conduct. And they found him responsible, and I think that the jury made him responsible for, I think it was like $34 million or something like that. And how do you justify
that? How do you square them?
Yeah,
right?
How do you justify the two? And it's pretty simple. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, and I think once I'll explain it, most people will realize it. But in a criminal case, the burden of proof by the state is completely different than it is in a civil case. In a criminal case, you have to prove, or the state has to prove, their case beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt. And the reason for that is you're dealing with somebody's liberty at stake. You're not dealing with money. You're going to put somebody in jail, whatever the crime is. And in some states, obviously, it could be much worse than that if there's, capital offenses and capital punishment or what have you. And in a civil case, you only have to prove beyond the standard is preponderance evidence. In other words, what's more likely than not. And if you would imagine Lady Liberty with the scales of justice.
How many times have you done that in trial?
How many
right?
times have yes. you done it in trial? Absolutely. And you've seen the scales of justice tipping, and it's just really a 51% or even a 50.1% if you want to talk about it in that way. So you could, in theory, the same jury, in fact, and it wasn't the same jury, I don't want to confuse anybody, but the same jury, in fact, could, in theory, find that OJ was not guilty. In other words, they didn't find him innocent. They found him not guilty. They said that the state didn't meet his burden, but they could find him civilly responsible. In other words, you could find that he more likely than not was responsible for those deaths, but at the same time determine that the state didn't prove their case beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt.
Right.
So that's how you balance the two.
I talk to a lot of attorneys.
I bet. Yep.
I do. We've had, over 475 attorneys and judges on our show and so forth. And yesterday I was explaining, who's going to be on the show today. It's open to all attorneys to come and observe. And I have an attorney who's going to be coming on that knows you very well and sings your praises. And
Wonderful.
That's Barry Stein.
Oh, sure. I know Barry very well, and I was on the phone with him just a few minutes ago. He's a wonderful, wonderful workers' compensation attorney and an equally wonderful human being. He's a wonderful person.
He truly
person.
Is. He's what I call a mensch.
Yes, he is a mensch.
I also spoke to a insurance defense. We've had several attorneys that work for insurance companies. A lot of them are board certified to attract their attention, by the way. They don't do it for any other reason, just so you know. And we're going to be having someone come on, and I explained to them, we have, from Panter, San Pedro on, David San Pedro. And he says, oh. And I said, what do you mean, oh? He says, well, he's a litigator. I said, so it makes a difference? I mean, he's board certified civil trial attorney. He's board certified civil trial advocate. What do those designations mean?
Yeah. Well, the board certified civil trial attorney is a designation by the Florida Bar. And it's basically what it means is that you're an expert in your area of law, which you practice. And there's a certain criteria that you need to go through. There's some rigorous continuing legal education requirements that are above right. and beyond what most attorneys have to go through. Most significantly, you have to have tried a number of cases before a jury. And in other words, you just don't handle them to resolve them. You got to be willing to go the distance and, right. and to bring them before a jury. And then there's a test as well that you need to take. So after, you know, you get through high school and college and law school and take the bar, then you've got to study for this test as well. And
it's a grueling test.
Yeah, it's they have it in Tallahassee as well, that's where the Florida Bar is located, and they'll have the test in Tampa, just where the bar is. And they'll do it twice a year, and it's a grueling process, but mm-hmm. it's well worth it. And I think I think you're recognized, and other attorneys, if they're not familiar with you for one reason or another, when they do look you up, I think I told you could put whatever you want on your webpage. Obviously, right. it has to be true, but you can color it as wonderful as you want. But if you
it's called
say,
puffery,
yeah. But if you say you're a board certified civil trial attorney,
yeah.
With the Florida Bar, you've gone through some requirements, well, and people know what it takes to do that.
That does say a lot. And for that, I won't mention his name either. He asked me not to. He says, "Don't." He says, "I said, well, I'll say an insurance defense attorney."
Okay.
Says, that's fair enough. But they do know who's going to be a true advocate, taking this to trial, who does basically settlement. You've seen those TV ads. You know, this guy got me $400,000. Well, was it really worth $400,000? Maybe it was $1 million case.
Right.
They got $400,000. They're injured. I'm not saying that it's bad because the majority of PI cases do settle. But with that said and done, you take on a case. I don't think people understand, yeah, you get paid on a contingency. And these cases go 3 to 5 years out. But you could put tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars of your own firm's money in there.
Absolutely.
And if you lose, yeah. you lose it all.
Right, yeah. It does. It costs a lot of money. You need to believe in your cases.
Right.
You need to believe in your clients. And you need to be willing to invest your blood, sweat, and tears, and quite frankly, your money as well. A lot of cases require expert witness testimony. That's not cheap, whether it's a medical malpractice case or a product liability case mm-hmm. or even an auto accident case. There are times you need to hire accident reconstruction experts, biomechanical engineers, human factors experts, physicians, just to talk about injuries. Forget a medical malpractice case. Even a case where, you need to prove, whether it's a personal injury case or a wrongful death case, that the person died as a result of somebody else's negligence, the medical examiner, all those things cost money. And I'm not even talking about the filing fee with the courthouse,
right.
Deposition transcripts. So the last trial I had.
Hours of paralegal work, my God.
Absolutely. The last trial we had that got resolved right after we picked a jury,
mm-hmm.
We had $200,000 invested in that case.
Wow.
And that was obviously a very significant case, but you've got to believe in your cases to put that kind of time, effort,
and you're all prepared. And that's what I mean. I was taken back by, he says, oh, you know, they know that you will take this to trial. They know who yeah. does and who doesn't. You know,
right.
You've been practicing law for how long now?
20 plus years, 21 years.
Right.
And, statistically, that is true. Most cases do settle.
Yeah.
But if you're a good attorney and a good advocate and doing the best job for your client, when you take your case, you're not taking it thinking you're going to settle it. You're taking it thinking you're going to trial. And you got to make the insurance company and the defense attorneys know that you're willing to go the whole way and to get full value, full compensation for your clients. And if that happens, most of the times they'll do the right things and they will settle the cases. And you know, oftentimes cases that get tried, somebody did something wrong. But, you know, in those situations, you got to be ready to go to distance to not have to go to distance.
Well, money doesn't cure an issue, especially when someone dies, but it does help.
Absolutely not. There is no money in the world that can
That's
bring
right.
back a loved one. We always tell our clients that's not the idea behind the lawsuits. There is no amount of money in the world that my clients would accept for the loss of a loved one. But, you know, the money is there to recognize a wrong, to have some accountability on behalf of the wrongdoers and to try to help them with the absence of their loved ones.
And it does protect others from maybe a possible same neglect or negligence.
Absolutely.
It's an industry, I noticed.
It's the reason we have seatbelts in cars, airbags in cars, and the reason a lot of products are a lot safer is because of these types of lawsuits. So keep that in mind the next time your legislatures want to take away your rights and your access to the courthouse.
David, what's the best way to contact you within your firm?
The best way to contact me is calling our law firm. The number is 305-662-6178. We also have a 1-800 number, which is 1-800-593, or actually it's 1-800-PANTER-5,
and that's what it is.
Yes, PANTER-5, or 305-662-6178. You can go to our webpage as well. Which is www.panterlaw.com. That's P-A-N as November, T-E-R-L-A-W.com.
That's right. Not Panther.
Correct.
you'll find the tickets on sale for there, but I wish we had more time. Dave, it's a real privilege to have you
here.
Thank you.
Thank you to Phil and Michael for having me. I appreciate it.
In any case, Mike, it goes by too fast.
It does. Thank you, David. You can hear past episodes of our radio shows on my firm's website at 500law.com.
Yep.
That's 500law.com. Please put down your phones, listen to the radio. You're almost there. And remember, everyone,
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.